Welcome to Arkansas Talent Conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Yares. Every week on Arkansas Talent Conversations, we spotlight and present members of the Arkansas Talent Database. Our conversations include artists, actors, independent filmmakers, along with other arts and entertainment professionals here in the state of Arkansas. From Low Gap Media, outside Clinton, Arkansas, this is Arkansas Talent Conversations. Our guest today is Kelly Griffin, actor, artist, video shooter, editor, cinematographer, and writer. Welcome to the show.
Thanks,
Kelly.
Good to be here.
Great. It's wonderful to have you out here. Going through your profiles on ATDB and everything, how did you get yourself into this career?
Well, actually, I've been in the technical industry pretty much all my life, developing, programming, things like that. I was actually watching it was either Spy Kids, one of the Spy Kids movies, with my children. And I had just gone through a divorce, and we were together watching the movie, and it was time for them to go home, which is usually a pretty sad time for me. And I didn't have cable or anything, so I put the movie back in and watched it with the director's commentary on. And it was directed by a guy named Robert Rodriguez. And I was so just intrigued by the process of making a movie, because he's so giving when he talks about how he makes movies. It's not just, I mean, if you're interested in filmmaking, do yourself a favor and pick up some Robert Rodriguez films and listen to the director's commentary. And he just got me really intrigued with the whole process, and started networking and finding people who were interested in it too. And I just kind of went from there, and ended up getting a job at a production company, and I got bit by the video bug, and the rest has been history.
Right. Well, here you've done over hundreds of regional and national spots for TV.
And most definitely.
And when you get into that type of process, what's your process when you shoot? Do you write these scripts, or when you do the shooting, do you always have in mind how you're going to edit that thing out at the end of it?
Well, we do, you know, it depends on the commercial. We do a lot of assembly line stuff because people want fast and cheap. And sometimes fast and cheap works as far as direct marketing is concerned. Call now, you know. Billy Mays had a great career doing the same thing. So it's usually pretty canned, and not a whole lot of creative thought goes into them. But occasionally we'll get a spot that actually requires some thought. And then I guess we have four employees at our office, and I think two or three of them actually write the spots along with me. So it really depends on who they want for their talent, and, you know, how comfortable we are with letting them go crazy.
Gotcha. Right.
So yeah, it depends on the spot, really.
When you did shooting work on Insomniac, Devils in Hot Springs, how was that to work with directors? I'm sure that when you do these commercial spots, these TV spots, you're the guy in charge.
Right.
How is it giving over that directing role and you know, having to set up these shots?
Well, actually, luckily, Insomniac was directed by a really good friend of mine, Chris Wilkes. I mean, we see each other almost on a daily basis. And Devil Lives in Hot Springs was done by Jet West, who's another really good friend of mine. We talk weekly on the phone. So there's really more friends getting together. And of course, we all had our own input and thoughts. So, and we were all learning too. They were learning how to direct. So it's not like I walked in and you know, Scorsese was there. you know, you walk in and work with Scorsese, you're going to do whatever the hell he tells you, because
right.
He, you know, but you walk in and you're with your friend who you've known, you know, for most of your life, and it's his first attempt at making a movie. You're going to argue back and forth about things. So it was really more of a learning process and a community type of a kind of a thing than it was a, you're an actor and you're a director and this is how the scene's going to work. And we just kind of feel it out until we had something that worked.
We're here with Kelly Griffin on Arkansas Talent Conversations. I've seen Devils Lives in Hot Springs, and there's a lot of nighttime shooting in that. That presents you with a lot of problems.
Well, he uses a very talented man named Redmond Kiesler, who's been shooting video around here for pretty much the last 20 or 30 years. As a matter of fact, he shot the REO Speedwagon and Rick Springfield concert on ice for NBC not too long ago. He and his son were the two main cameramen that did the thing. So Jimmy, although he does shoot for the company, he does edit, he relies on Redmond to make sure that there's enough light and make sure everything, the camera's set up correctly and things like that. Because, I mean, you really have enough to worry about when you're trying to make a scene work than to how grainy does it look and where are the lights and stuff. And if you can offload that onto somebody who knows what they're doing and you trust, then, you know, you don't worry about that. You just look at it later when you capture it, you know.
Right.
So
how was doing special effects on Devil Lives in Hot Springs? And you've also been doing some special effects on Tuckerman also?
I will be doing some. He's still, that hasn't gone into post yet. I think he's got a couple more shoots, left. But, the special effects was really, just things that they didn't do in camera. Blood, bullet hole, smoke, and things like that. It's really just, compositing more than anything else. It's finding elements, compositing them into the scene and making them look like they were part of the scene. There's a fantastic website out there called videocopilot.net, and it's ran by a gentleman named Andrew Kramer, who is the Robert Rodriguez of motion graphics. He, did all the titles, for Star Trek, the last Star Trek movie. Fringe, the television series Fringe.
He does
all their motion graphics and titles and things like that. And he basically has a site with about 200 tutorials on it of how he does his titles and stuff. So, I spend a lot of time on that site learning. And I didn't really get into the visual effects part of it until after I was really interested in shooting a film. That's when I realized there were going to be some scenes that, you know, you can't really shoot someone, you know. So we got to find a way to do this on camera. And, so I went to that site and I've never turned back. I go there weekly looking for something new. And it's a fantastic site. Anybody who's interested in motion graphics or visual effects, you got to check it out. Videocopilot.net. Andrew Kramer.
Do you have any specific software that you use for doing the effects, or what do you like to use for when you do your composting work?
Well, I will say this. I'm not an Apple fanboy, and it seems that most movies, and visual effects and motion graphics guys use Apples. Andrew Kramer uses a PC. I use a PC. I use Adobe Premiere as my NLE, and I use Adobe After Effects as my compositing tool. And it's not because I'm in love with them or married to them. I would use anything that worked and worked with my workflow. I really don't care as long as I can put stuff on a timeline and and do things with it. So, I mean, Windows Movie Maker will do that, the same thing. So, I mean, it's not the tool, it's the, you know, it's the person driving the computer. So
right.
There's a lot of free tools out there. There's a lot of very expensive tools out there. Ultimately, they do the same thing. So, it's just knowing how to use them.
You've done a lot of work on, for other folks. What have you got that, I read in one of your profiles that you're doing some pre-production directing on something called Anyone?
Yes, this is actually, another film by Chris Wilkes, the guy who directed Insomniac. After we worked together on the 48-hour film festival and I directed him, he started writing a script with a friend of his that's a dramedy, I guess, for the best line I can use. He really enjoyed my directing in the 48-hour film festival. He enjoyed the way I worked with him as an actor. And he decided he wanted to write a script and have me direct it. I have a, very, I don't know, my edits tend to, come off kind of Guy Ritchie-ish. They're really fast and I try to tell stories with really fast edits and not a lot of exposition because, it wears me out after a little while. So after we put that 48-hour film together in 48 hours, basically, he was like, you know what? I'm going to work on another script and you're going to direct this one because I want to be a producer now. I don't want to be a director. You know, and producing is the last thing that I want to do. I don't want to make the phone calls and set up the locations. I just want to show up and work, you know. So it's going to be a pretty good little partnership, I think.
We're speaking with Kelly Griffin as our guest today on Arkansas Talent Conversations. We had a conversation prior to us doing this radio show. And you talked about some of your own writing that you've been doing and the type of stories that you like to work on. What's your greatest influence for your genre in your writing?
Well, I don't have a particular genre that I enjoy writing. I enjoy all kinds of genres. I mean, my favorite author growing up was Michael Crichton. Probably my favorite screenwriter is Tarantino. So I really don't have a genre per se. I grew up doing martial arts, so I love action films. I have lived and loved many times over, so I enjoy drama, relationships. I have children, so I enjoy children. So, I mean, it just depends on the mood I'm in and what I feel like writing at the time. I'm really not stuck into a certain genre, though.
Before we head into a break, one thing, after scoping around on the net, I found that you're part of a 4-member band called Wish Tribe.
Yes, I am.
And I read some of the description as rock, metal, alternative, and you have a description that yourself described that all of you are influenced by very different music types.
Most definitely. I am the oldest one in the band. I'm 43 years old, and the next oldest person in the band is 28. And the next oldest person in the band is 23, I think. And then we have one guy who's 19. So age-wise and influence-wise, we are all over the board. I played in a blues band for 12 years called JR and the Hellhounds. We actually got signed by Sun Records back in the 90s and did a CD, a blues CD for them. So I've always been a big blues R&B guy, and I'm playing modern rock right now with this band. And somehow it just worked. You know, the instruments kind of meshed, and our personalities meshed. And so, you know, we've got guys in the band who grew up on Metallica. I was way too old to even know who Metallica, you know, to really get into Metallica
right
when it came out. But yeah, it's just a neat kind of a weird mesh of age and influence, and it comes up working pretty good for us. So we're going to keep rolling with it and see what happens.
You've got a great sound. I listened to the and watched the video that you made, Automatic,
right,
today. And you shot that with TJ Frame.
Yes.
How long did it take you guys to put that thing together?
That was one day. We shot that in one day.
Wow. That's a great job.
Yeah, well, thanks.
It's
yeah,
a great job. Do you have any more videos in the works for
Yeah, I mean, we actually want to do a concept video instead of just a straight performance video. Jim and I, our singer, who's also our lyricist, his songs are very personal to him, and we're still trying to come up with a concept that works with the song. But we do want to do a concept video. We want to do something that's just not straight performance anymore, because Gemini is a great actor and a great character, and he can do more than just sing. And so we want to put him on the screen doing something other than singing. So yes, we do have more videos in the works. And I think I can go ahead and let this out. I believe our next one is going to be 2012, which is one of the songs off of our new CD that we're working on. It'll probably be the next video. And yes, it is about the end of the world.
We're going to take a short break here with our guest, Kelly Griffin, and we'll be back in just 30 seconds. We're back and speaking with Kelly Griffin on Arkansas Talent Conversations. Kelly, we were talking about Wish Tribe before the break, and you let loose that you guys have a new album out. The debut CD, it's title is Wish Tribe.
That is correct. Yeah.
And now these are all original songs that the band put together. And
yes, actually, we've pretty much never played a cover, as far as I know. I mean, we have just for our own fun when we're getting ready to set up to practice and stuff. But we started out, actually, Jim and I started out before we had a band doing hip hop. And we did hip hop for about a year and a half, and we probably have 30 really solid hip hop cuts out. And we did that simply because we didn't have a band, and it was really the only genre we could delve in with two people doing it. And I was not a fan of hip hop at the time. I'm old school, you know, and I was one of those, you know, hip hop, schmip hop. And then after working with Gemini and playing with it, I realized that it is the only genre of music where you can play with R&B, funk, rock, country, jazz. I mean, you can delve into all these disciplines of music in this one discipline of hip hop. And it's a really cool, genre of music, when done correctly. I'll put it that way.
Well, so how do you go from hip hop to, well, as you described, rock, metal, and alternative, and you found these other younger members of the band?
I will tell you this. Jim and I was out drinking at a place called Fatback's one afternoon, and he called me and said, "We have a gig." And I said, "Do what?" And he said, "Yeah, we have a gig." And I said, "Well, we don't have a band." And he said, "Well, we got to find one." So we put some people together real quick, and we went and played this gig of these rock tunes that we had worked on. And the energy that we got from the gig, the audience reaction, there's just nothing like a good, solid rock atmosphere of people really getting into the music and yelling at you and throwing the rock fest out. There's something about that that you just don't really get in any other genre of music, you know. And we loved it, so we just kept on rolling with it. Plus, we're both rock guys. I mean, I have been all my life. You know, I grew up, Judas Priest was the first concert I ever saw. And while I was waiting through the crowd of people handing me pamphlets telling me I was going to hell, I knew I was going to see a good show. So,
yeah,
I was 15 years old, and I was like, this is it. Yeah.
Well, I noticed on your profile also that Pink Floyd is you like them as a band. And right or wrong, I will say when I was watching the music video, Automatic, I saw a few things in there that are almost like a bit of a homage to Pink Floyd. And when you had Gemini and some of the shots on him, I mean, do you have other info when you put that together and you're working on music videos? Do you kind of take some ideas here and there?
Well, yeah.
A little bit of homage? I mean, I know you may, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 43 years old, so I am. You know, I played sax in school. It was my first instrument. And David Sanborn was one of the people that I looked up to as a kid.
Yeah.
So he was my first influence on sax. But before that, bluegrass was the first music that was really cranking in my house. And I became a huge Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs fan. And then my brother started playing banjo. I think he went to see Steve Martin in Dallas, and Steve pulled the Denver Bell out and blew him away. He was like, "I had no idea this guy could play like that." And so we got into bluegrass really hard, and then I started playing sax. And while I was playing sax, I noticed how much fun the drummers were having. So then I got into drums, played a trap kit for a long time. I actually played drums for a very long time until I got tired of carrying them around to gigs. It is the worst instrument as far as carrying crap from place to place that you could possibly have. And then I started playing guitar, and I played guitar for many years, and I found out that really good, solid bass players are few and far between. So I switched over to bass, and I saw Flea play with the Chili Peppers, I guess, in 1982 at the Antenna Club in Memphis, and that's when I realized that the bass is an actual, viable, real instrument if you know how to play it correctly. And I've been playing bass ever since. But I play harmonica, too, a little bit, and, you know, I had my own little dual cassette recording studio at the house, was my own band, which is why I play so many different instruments, because I couldn't find people to play with. So,
like track after
track. Right.
So
I would lay a drum track, then I'd come back and lay a guitar track, then I'd come back and lay a bass track. And that's how me and Gemini actually did all of our music at first. I would play all the instruments, he would do the vocals and maybe an occasional acoustic guitar on there, and we would track it out and it would be done. And then we'd find players that could come back and reproduce that. And then if we finally found players who don't need help, they can produce their own stuff. So,
oh, that sounds great, man. Our guest today is Kelly Griffin on Arkansas Talent Conversations. I'd like to try to round this out a little bit here, Kelly. And I know you've been a participant, four-year participant in the 48-hour film contest here in Little Rock. And why don't you, some of us don't know anything about the 48-hour film contest. How's your experience has been there with that in the past 4 years?
Well,
and the group of people that you get to work with and mate?
I believe that I've only missed one, and I think it was the first one. It was probably because I didn't know about it. I will say that the first one that I participated in, it was very slim but cool. There weren't a whole lot of teams involved in it, and it was a very small little community, and everybody was friends, and it was just a cool little kind of a get-together kind of a thing. And then the next year, when we all turned movies in, we actually started seeing things on the screen that made people go, wow, that really wasn't that bad, you know? And the next year, again, it just got even better. And then last year, I was just blown away. I mean, there was the film that won Best Cinematography looked like a million-dollar film on the screen, you know? And the film that won Best Picture was hilarious and well-acted. Bob Halsey did a fantastic job, Jerry Bruno and David Kuhn and all those guys. So it's basically this thing that happens once a year where a bunch of people who want to make a movie in 48 hours get together, and they meet at the theater. I think it was Riverdale is where we met last year. And they have a hat that has a genre, a character, a prop, and a line of dialogue. And you basically walk up when it's your team's turn, and you draw from a hat these things. Well, the genre is what you're drawing. The prop, the line of dialogue, and the character are all the same for everybody. So, you know, if last year it was Victor Lachey, who's Vic or Victoria Lachey, who is a locksmith. And the prop was a suitcase, and the line of dialogue was, "This is for you." So the one thing everybody shares is the character, the prop, and the line of dialogue, but you draw your genre. So you don't know if you're going to get sci-fi or comedy or Western or silent movie or something like that. And it is, if you enjoy playing with film, it is probably one of the funnest experiences.
Funnest 48 hours.
It is. It really is. And draining. You know, you literally won't sleep for 48 hours.
Right. I was going to ask you, there's no sleeping in this.
No sleeping. Every now and then somebody will take a nap. I can't sleep until it's done. I could not lay down and close my eyes knowing that something needs to be on a timeline being rendered or edited or color corrected or something like that. So I stay up for the whole thing. And last year was my first chance to, direct, and, we had a lot of fun. And it basically, it's just a bunch of friends getting together with a video camera and having a bunking party, you know, over the weekend, a slumber party.
Right. Now, from that group, some of those people that were part of 48 Hours, they're also part of Insomniac.
That is correct. Mr. Chris Wilkes, who's a very, very good friend of mine, who wrote and directed Insomniac. Actually, he wrote it, I guess, four or five times. we had never done it together before, and I was actually going to sit last year out just because of my schedule and everything that I had going on. And Chris was like, "Dude, we've been friends forever and we've never done this contest together." And I was like, "Okay, well, let's do it." So we went ahead at the last minute and entered and really liked what we ended up with. We had a lot of fun making it. So yeah, I highly recommend, even if you don't want to participate, come out and look at some of the films because you will be blown away. Some of them will blow you away, with what they can accomplish in 48 hours. There's a team a gentleman named Scott Edge heads every year called EWI, which stands for It Is What It Is. And last year they had posters, movie posters out in the foyer and they do it like it's supposed to be done, you know. And you know, and we have, you know, Dempsey Film used to be involved. I don't think they were in it last year. And so you will see the good and the bad all in the same night, and it's a neat little project.
Isn't it? Is this part of the Little Rock Film Fest, the 48 Hour, or is it loosely affiliated or not really?
I think that it's loosely affiliated, but not really, because 48 Hour Film Contest is a national contest. So if you win here, you go on to the nationals.
Okay.
And if you win nationals, you go on to the international. I mean, it's an international contest is what I meant to say. So, I mean, it's worldwide. They have them in Beijing. And, I mean, so it's a neat deal. Neat deal. I highly recommend it. So
that's great. Do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about this afternoon? We've covered a lot of area on here, and
we can talk about the Arkansas Talent Database if you want to.
Well, that's what the whole base on is. Thanks, Kelly, for putting me on the spot. Well, we discussed that a little bit prior to this interview, and I think one of the strongest points you brought up when you guys shot Insomniac and when you're doing the 48-hour film contest is trying to get an actor base
right.
here in Arkansas.
Right.
And that's, has that been part of your past experience also, is the lack of getting an actor base out there where people know who they are?
Most definitely. I mean, there are a lot of talented people in the state, but much like Pelfrey is finding out on the basketball team and Bobby's finding out on the football team, they have to go out of state to get some five stars because it's just our population is so small here that the basket, the picking is harder. And we have a lot of theatrically trained actors here who do weekend theater and at the Rep and things like that. And a lot of them are really, really good, but acting in front of a camera and acting on a stage are two completely different animals. And, you know, the camera allows a subtlety that you don't get allowed on stage, and it's hard sometimes for stage actors to turn that off in front of the camera, the big gestures and the over-the-top facial expressions and things like that, you know. And they don't understand when I say, I'm so tight on you that you can't move your head. All I can see is your eyes and your mouth. Act. And they don't know how to do that. You know what I mean? And it's not a slight against them. It's just experience. It's the reason I stay so busy all the time, is because I'm always learning how to do something. You know, I was telling you earlier, I went to Barnes & Noble and picked up some graphic novels the other weekend. Not because I'm a fan of graphic novels, but because I'm a fan of framing and cinematography. And those are great. If you can't storyboard, if you can't sit down with a piece of paper and draw your framing, go pick up some graphic novels and find some framing that you like and use that as a reference. If you have two characters in frame and some kind of background, I guarantee you there's going to be one in that novel that turns you on, and just reproduce that. So it's just I'm always learning and I'm always doing, because that's the only way to figure this thing out, is to go out and shoot. Just you got to take your camera, you got to go out and shoot, and you got to deal with the things that don't work, and you got to look at them and go, well, how can I make that work, and go shoot it again, and go shoot it again. And if the actor isn't panning out, you got to find a way to make them give you the line the way you see it in your head. And sometimes that's psychology. Sometimes they take direction very well and can give you the character five different ways, you know, and you use the take that you want. But it's a neat art form to be able to tell a story visually that makes people forget themselves for an hour and a half or 2 hours and then walk out feeling like it was money well spent, you know? So very, very neat art form, but very, very hard to do. So I guess maybe that's one of the things that intrigues me so much about it. So.
Well, Kelly, I want to thank you for speaking with us today on Arkansas Talent Conversations.
Had a blast.
Maybe in the future you can come on back and we'll have another conversation on some new projects you're going
to
be working
on.
I
would love to. Love to.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arkansas Talent Conversations, a production of LoGAP Media. To find out more about Arkansas Talent Conversations and our guests, please visit the Arkansas Talent Database at www.arkansastalentdatabase.ning.com or visit LoGAP Media at www.logap.com. Until next time, Pecoy Laska Roost.